Spring is here. Why isn't the waltz entrancing?
Well, kind of a depressing song about spring, but then again, we had a somewhat depressing start to spring this week, didn't we? With blizzard warnings and snowstorms and more than a foot of snow dumped in parts of western, central, and northeastern Wisconsin. And then there were the thunderstorms and the flood warnings in the southern part of the state. Last night, fog, light snow, and mist combined to create dangerously slippery conditions on the roads, and there were more than 17 accidents reported to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office between the hours of 6 and 9 last night. A wintry mix last night in Madison left ice on the trees and frozen car door locks at my house. I wish I had a picture of my husband breaking in the back door hatch and climbing over the back seat and the front seats in order to start his car. You probably have even more harrowing stories than that, and we will welcome them this hour as we talk about the weather. How are you liking spring so far? And when will it really arrive anyway? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 24th. We also welcome your weather-related questions in general for our guest expert, who joins us from time to time when weather is making the news and when the seasons change. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. How did you survive the first week of spring so far? You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we have a question going on Facebook that you can participate in, too. What's your favorite season? Is it spring, summer, fall, winter? Or maybe you love all of them, or neither, or any? Michael Morgan is our guest. He's a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's joining us from Virginia today, where he is also the director of the Division of Atmospheric and Geospace Sciences at the National Science Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Now, you didn't experience the first few days of spring here in Wisconsin, but I know you've been following our misery. Is that right?
Oh, actually, I had the great fortune to be back in the lovely state of Wisconsin earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday. I left yesterday morning to get back to work here at the foundation, but and it was unfortunately kind of wet and cool.
Yeah, that's right.
And the weather out here in the D.C. area this spring has actually been kind of delightful. We've had a few days in the 70s, so I shouldn't say any more about that. It'll probably upset the stories.
Here are the cherry blossoms coming out already?
Oh, yeah. Some trees have actually opened up here in the east, in the Maryland and the Virginia area. But actually, for much of the upper Midwest through the Northeast and even down here in Virginia, even though we've had temperatures in the 60s and 70s last week, we're going to be sharing in the misery, if you will, of cool weather for the next week or so. Maybe we might even see some snow here this weekend.
Oh, boy. Well, and you're not used to that there. So what happened? I mean, what caused this spring snowstorm?
Well, this time of year is really the, you know, as we get into the transition season, even though the 20th of March is in an astronomical sense the first day of spring, we basically had a frontal boundary that was just south of the state, and we had some disturbance, a weather disturbance, propagate along that boundary and gave us that period of snow and rain. It started over the weekend with rain and thunderstorms over the southern part of the state, and as the boundary began to intensify, that just drew in some really moist air from the Gulf of Mexico. It lifted up over this frontal boundary and basically produced the rain, and the further north you got yesterday and the day before, that fell in the form of snow as it was much colder to the north.
Mm-hmm.
So we have cold air that's pressing still in central Canada to our north and very mild and increasingly moist air to our south. And from time to time, if that boundary lingers in our area, we'll see the chance of either rain or snow. It just depends on how cold it is over us at the time.
Well, our forecast for the state of Wisconsin today says that it will be mostly clear, so mostly sunny across most of Wisconsin, though it does say a few clouds near Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and the possibility of some flurries in the forecast. But is the worst over then in terms of this week anyway?
Yeah, the worst seems to be over. The boundary that I was referring to, that front, is now pressed further to the south of us, and so it looks like we're going to be relatively dry, but unfortunately on the chilly side. I mean, last week it was a little bit, it was relatively mild, I guess, in the state, but we're now coming back to more, actually below seasonal norms. Our normal temperature for the Madison area is actually in the upper 40s. That's sort of the climatological average over the last 30 years. This time of the year, in late March, we should be around 47, 48 degrees, and we'll probably be struggling to get to the low 40s today. And in the northern part of the state where they've received the snowfall, it'll stay probably in the 30s, solidly in the 30s.
Yeah, it looks like, according to the National Weather Service's highs ranging from the mid-20s in the north to the low 30s in the southern part of the state, and that, as you say, is below our normals for this time of year. How long, do we know how long we are going to stay below our seasonal norms?
It looks like for the rest of this week and perhaps the first part of next week, we're going to be below those seasonal norms. The pattern, as I mentioned, for much of the northern part of the country into the northeast, looks like we're going to be taking a few steps back in our advancement toward warmer weather, and we'll be staying probably below normal for the next, I'd say probably for the next week or so.
Now, do we know in terms of the whole season's outlook, whether this is supposed to be a spring that is more snow and colder temps, or do we have that overall prediction?
Oh, yes, actually, on the computer in front of me, I'm just looking at the forecast, at least for the month ahead for April, that was issued by the National, by NOAA, the Climate Prediction Center, last week. And it's calling for much of the northern tier of the United States, from Washington State all the way out to the Great Lakes. Likely it will be below normal temperatures in a swath along the northern tier, and perhaps a little bit above normal, or above normal likely in terms of precipitation. So if you put those two together, at least for the first part of our, of April, we still do stand the chance of seeing perhaps some more snow, but this time of year, above normal could still, even if we're below normal, that could still be warm enough for it to be rain.
Right.
I think a cool, damp April looks to be in store from this projection for the next month or so.
So, listeners, how does that sound? A cool, damp April. We are talking about the weather this hour, and we're welcoming your questions about the weather and your survival stories, perhaps, from the storms that we just received this week. And we wonder, what is your favorite season? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Michael Morgan. He's a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the UW-Madison. And again, our weather forecast for today, mostly sunny, most places in Wisconsin, partly cloudy near Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. There is a chance of some flurries. Highs today will be in the mid-20s in the north to the low 30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 24th. Stay tuned to the Ideas Network. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, two candidate forums. We will be talking with both candidates running for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. The incumbent, Justice David Prosser, will join us after 7 o'clock, and his challenger, Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg, will join us after 7:30. And you can be the judge from 7 until 8. So stay with us for candidate forums for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice in our next hour. Right now we are talking about the weather. The calendar says it's the fourth full day of spring, but the weather suggests otherwise. We are talking about this week's snowstorm in Wisconsin, floods in other parts of the state, and we invite you to share your weather story from this week and your favorite season and your reasons why. Your questions also welcome, of course. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Chris on Facebook might summarize the feelings of many of us today. 15 inches of snow and 14 degrees is not my idea of spring. Yuck. Thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, that was quite the deal. We had lots of schools were closed throughout northeastern Wisconsin and central and north central Wisconsin, and really hazardous driving conditions. How common is this, though, Michael Morgan, that we see wintry weather during the first week of spring? I would imagine it's not too unusual.
Right, it's not too unusual. I don't have the statistics at my fingertips, but snow in Wisconsin in mid to late March, as well as into early April, is not an uncommon occurrence. Again, this is as a transition season. We still have the cold air reservoir up to our north, and with the Gulf of Mexico opening up with more warm, moist air available to the south, spring storms can produce significant precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not too unusual.
Well, you know, we had thunderstorms, thunder and lightning and thunder boomers going on in southern Wisconsin a day or two ago.
Right.
And up in some friends of mine in Green Bay and Appleton were reporting thunder snow and how spooky that was. Is it the same thing? Is that a thunderstorm when it's cold enough?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. It's a thunderstorm. It's cold enough. These aren't as deep or necessarily as intense as the thunderstorms we get later on in the spring, the ones that are just accompanied with rain. But, this is something that often happens in the spring. We can get thunderstorms with snow and sleet as opposed to the rain that we typically get.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Victor in Oconomowoc. Hello, Victor.
Well, good morning. How are you, folks?
Good.
Thank you for this topic. I would say my favorite season is turning out to be summer. The reason for that is I got to take the chihuahuas for a walk at the dog park, and they're not exactly weatherized, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I can imagine they don't really like it when it's when there's a lot of snow. If there's a foot of snow, you can't see the chihuahuas.
No, Otto will not poop outside when it's snowy. I find this weather variation very interesting. Some on some side will say, you know, well, this disproves global warming, and others will say something otherwise. Irrespective of climate change, which there's factual evidence for it happening, I think there's always going to be weird local variations. The most interesting thing I've heard recently is that part of our weather patterns are due to changes in weather patterns over Siberia. I'm going to just leave you with that because I want to hear what your feedback is on this complex system we call the weather, and I'll just take the answer off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. I'm not sure. So, Michael Morgan.
Yes, we can. Yeah, so the study that Victor was referring to came out of, I guess it was late in the winter, late December, early January. I'm not familiar with all the details of it, but it's been suggested that there's sort of complex interactions with over the northern hemisphere, with snowfall patterns in Siberia dictating sort of the early season, sort of sets the stage for what the rest of the season is going to be over the northern hemisphere. When you get large accumulations of snow, that's sort of the area, that part of the globe is where we get some of the development of the initial cold air that ends up in the cold air outbreaks that occur over much of North America. And you can imagine, people many times have seen weather maps showing the position of the jet stream and how it changes from time to time. And there can be remote influences on a large scale for our weather. And looking at some of the patterns of early season snowfall in the fall and winter over Siberia could give us some clues as to what the weather is going to be over the rest of the northern hemisphere, in particular over the central part of the United States. I'm not familiar directly with the details of that study, but it's not too unusual or too surprising that there can be these remote influences.
We had a Facebook comment from someone who said, "Will you please ask your guest to whether the snow and cold that we are seeing now is proof that global warming does not exist?" She hears this from people like, "Well, so much for global warming when we have this kind of weather."
No, I mean, global warming and more broadly climate change, you can't really attribute one particular weather event or even a particular season's weather to the phenomenon of global warming. The fact that we, from time to time, we've always, we've had cold and snowy weather over the this time of the year, you know, suggests that, you know, some people might argue that that's not an evidence at all of any sort of climate change. But, I mean, what you really want to look at are how the averages, the average temperatures, the trends of temperatures over the last several decades have been. And according to NOAA scientists, I mean, just looking at last year, and this is over the entire globe, 2010 tied with 2005 as the warmest year of global surface temperature record that go back all the way to 1880. That was the 34th consecutive year with global temperatures that were above the 20th century average. So looking at a particular season or even concentrate on a particular weather event, that's not any evidence whatsoever for or against global warming. If you look at the globally average surface temperatures, the records show, the science is pretty clear, that we are certainly, you know, last year was the warmest. It tied with 2005 for, you know, for records at least since 1880. And we've been 34 years in a row with temperatures that have been above the 20th century average. So this is, you know, there's compelling evidence for global warming. A particular weather event doesn't say anything one way or the other.
Well, I'll have to agree with Victor, even though I don't have chihuahuas that I have to walk. But summer is my favorite season, too. I love parts of all of the seasons, and I'm glad I live in a state where we experience all four seasons.
Yeah.
But I prefer the sunshine and the warmth and of summertime and all of the outdoor activities that you can enjoy during those months. What about you?
For me, I mean, I like late spring and the early part of fall. So, I mean, particularly fall. I mean, I like that transition to slightly cooler weather after some of the, you know, perhaps, you know, hot and sticky summer weather. Sometime, you know, mid-September through mid to late October is sort of my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, it's nice. I love that, too. Courtney on Facebook writes, I prefer winter in the snow. It's prettier, it's cleaner than mud. I can ski, snowshoe, hike, snowmobile, or dog sled in it. I know I'm in the minority. I look forward to gardening, but nothing beats the excitement of a great snowfall for me. I'm not sure if Courtney got snow this last time around, but I guess to each their own. What about you? What's your favorite season and why? Do you have any questions about the weather in general? And do you have any survival stories from this week, this first week of spring when we have seen everything from big snowstorms to flooding, depending on where you live in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next caller is Clarence in Watertown. Hi, Clarence.
Good morning. Good morning. Dairy farmer here, been dairy farmer all my life. And so we are outdoors every day, all day, and yeah, I hate winter with a passion. But the phases of the moon, does that have an effect on the temperatures? The old rumor was that you'll always have the killing frost in October, during the full moon.
The moon and the weather?
The moon and the weather. There is no connection that I'm aware of. I mean, certainly the phase of the moon is going to be associated with just, you know, monthly variations. You're going to see changes in the phase, but that's, you know, so that would go along with just sort of seasonal variations. But there's no direct tie between phases of the moon and the weather that we experience.
Okay, it always just seemed that the weather was colder during the full moon. You know, especially in the autumn or in the, you know, late spring.
Right.
And that, you know, because, okay, full moon, it's going to be a killing frost, you know, bring the plants in.
I think, I mean, there are certainly links between, I guess, the time of the year and the timing of those phases, but I don't, you know, the seasons and the timing of some of those phases, but I think it's more it's coincidental and it's not really a causal relationship.
Yeah. Hey, did you catch the supermoon, what was that, Saturday night, Michael Morgan? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's when I was traveling. I happened just to see it sort of really late. It was quite nice to see a large moon. I think it was the closest approach in 18 years.
Right. Yeah, I have to admit, where I saw it, it wasn't as huge as I've seen in some of the pictures, and that's
right.
That's really something. I know what I wanted to ask you, too. I just got back from from Hawaii. I don't want listeners to be mad at me either, but I took a long-planned trip to Maui last week when I was on vacation, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. However, it got off to a scary start. The tsunami caused by the earthquake in Japan hit the islands the day before we arrived.
Okay.
Nothing really major in Hawaii from that tsunami. There was certainly some damage, but not so much on Maui where we visited. But I just see that it is now the National Weather Service is calling this Tsunami Awareness Week.
Yeah, this was planned, I think, months ago, and mm-hmm. it's happened to be coincident with the occurrence of what happened in Japan. But certainly for coastal residents of both the Atlantic and Pacific coast of the United States, this is something that I guess we don't think of too much until we hear of reports of this actually happening in other parts of the world. That, you know, and these tsunami waves, these tsunami phenomena can actually propagate rather quickly across an ocean basin and affect, again, the Pacific and Atlantic coast. And it's just good for people to be aware of the potential for these to occur.
Yeah, and in the potential, there is obviously very powerful, and a great deal of damage can occur from tsunamis, and they do indeed hit Hawaii and the West Coast. California got hit by that one as well.
Right.
We are talking about the weather, all sorts of types of weather, and especially the weather that we have experienced in Wisconsin this week. The first full week of spring, and it's full of snowstorm warnings and flood warnings, and we are talking about why that is and when we can really expect spring weather to arrive. And we're welcoming your survival stories, we're welcoming your calls with your favorite season and why, and your questions for our guest, weather expert Michael Morgan. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I got the spring fever blues. I mean, I've got the spring fever blues.
So do you have the spring fever blues with all of the winter-like weather that we've received during this first week of spring? We are talking about the weather this hour, and you can join in with your weather stories, your weather questions, and your favorite types of weather. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, March the 24th. The fourth full day of spring. And an early spring snowstorm closed schools across Wisconsin yesterday and sent numerous vehicles skidding off on slick roads. Dozens of school districts from Chippewa Falls East to Wausau and Appleton canceled classes yesterday. Last night, between 6 and 9, 17 accidents were reported by the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office as fog, light snow, and mist combined to create dangerously slippery roads. Today we should see sunshine throughout most of Wisconsin. It's supposed to be mostly sunny today with a few clouds near Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. There is a chance of some flurries. It's going to be mostly sunny, but it's going to be cold too. So below normal temperatures this week and even into next week. How do you like spring so far? Let us know, and let us know your questions. Michael Morgan is our guest, a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Professor Morgan joins us from time to time when weather is making the news, and we often invite him when the seasons change to talk a little bit about the seasonal outlook for our weather for the season. And again, just a repeat for those just joining us, Michael Morgan, it looks like the outlook, the longer-term outlook, calls for a slightly colder or a below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation for at least the month of April?
That's correct. That's correct. And then the Climate Prediction Center has, you know, forecasts that extend out into the summer, and I mean, they're hopefully beginning to increase, you know, they're gaining some skill in those forecasts. And those call really for temperatures to be close to our
there's no really strong signal in the forecast. So they say equal chances for either above or below normal precipitation as well as for temperature. So we're probably heading, you know, over time as we get toward the summer, maybe toward a pattern that might be closer to normal for us.
I'll take normal. That's okay. And how come Jimmy the Groundhog got this one so wrong? Just kidding. He predicted an early spring, I think. We have Ron in Viroqua. I'm sorry. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I was just wondering how cloud cover affects our surface temperature. I know in the wintertime, when the sky's clear, the cold seems to bite. And when it's cloudy, it's a penetrating kind of feeling. And as far as my favorite seasons, I like two-thirds of winter, all of spring, three-quarters of summer, and all of fall.
Wait,
that's a nice combination. Nice.
Yeah, I think that's good. He's very precise.
Yes, Ron, it's a great question on cloud cover. I mean, cloud cover sort of acts in two different ways. I mean, it acts as certainly over during the day, it's going to keep temperatures down because of the fact that we're just not getting as much solar radiation to heat up the ground, and then that, in turn, heats up the air in very close contact with the ground. But at night, what it actually does is it keeps our temperatures typically a little bit warmer than they otherwise would be if we had clear skies. And so they basically, in general, help to keep the temperature extremes from being reached. We have a much smaller diurnal or daily variation in temperature on days that it's cloudy for the entire day.
And I'm not sure if, Ron, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, something happened to our telephone system, so I lost all of our callers, or so I thought. Do you have a follow-up?
No, I was just, you know, curious because it seems that it the same temperature during the day changes when the, you know, clouds come over, and just wondered how it, you know, how it affected our surface temperature through the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, so, yeah, as I said, typically the a cloudy day is going to be cooler than it otherwise would be without the cloud cover. I mean, the basic processes with the sun comes up during the day on a clear day, it helps that radiation gets to the ground, gets absorbed, it heats up the ground, and some mixing can distribute that heat upward toward where we have, you know, we take our temperature readings. And at night, as the sun is set, radiation from the ground goes up, goes out into space, but if we have cloud cover, that's going to basically, the clouds are going to absorb that radiation, and in fact, we'll re-radiate some of that effectively re-radiate that energy back toward the surface that keeps the temperatures up at night if you have cloud cover.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Ron. And what about snow cover? When there is snow cover, that keeps our temperatures
down.
Down, right.
And it does it in sort of two ways. I mean, the snow cover acts as a great insulator over the ground, but during the course of the day, you're going to get the solar radiation that would otherwise be heating up the ground as basically reflected back into space because the surface is so white, it has a high reflectivity, and so that energy from the sun doesn't get absorbed by the ground to heat up the ground and then do that process that causes our temperature to go up during the course of the day. And at night, sun's a great radiator, and that energy just gets radiated back out to space, and so it can be much colder. And so the northern parts of our state, they're going to be, I misspoke earlier, but they're going to be struggling to get it out of the 20s. They're going to be quite chilly today with that fresh snow cover. A lot of that solar radiation is going to be reflected back out into space, so they'll stay cold. And again, probably below zero temperatures up in the northern part of the state later on tonight.
We have another call from Christine in Iron River. Hello, Christine. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just wondering how much snow equals how much rain as far as measurement of precipitation.
Okay. Yeah, that's another great question. It really depends on sort of the quality, the nature of the snow. For the dry, fluffy snow that you might get during the depths of winter, not the snowfall that you received, I guess, in the last couple of days, the ratios can be anywhere from 20 inches of snow corresponding to an inch of liquid precipitation. When you get really heavy, wet snows, those ratios can be anywhere from 6 to 10 inches of snow to an inch of precipitation. I know a few years ago in Madison we had a snowfall. It wasn't a lot of snow, but we had ratios that were closer to 40 to 1. It was a very fluffy snow that if you put your foot down really firmly on the pavement, you would see the snow sort of scatter away because it was really light and fluffy. So the ratios for wet snow, particularly during the late winter and early spring, can be 6 to 10 inches of snow to an inch of liquid precipitation. And in the depths of winter when it's really cold, probably 20 to maybe 25 to 1.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Christine, did you get a lot of snow in Iron River?
We got nothing. I mean, we got just flurries. And I was kind of hoping for the 12 inches personally because I didn't have to go anywhere. And someone said to me yesterday, well, shame on you because it takes 12 inches of snow to make 1 inch of rain. And I thought, oh, I thought I'd heard 4 to 1. So both of us were way off.
Okay. Well, that is true that northwestern Wisconsin was under like a blizzard warning, and I think schools were even closed in anticipation of a real, you know, dumping of snow and nothing.
Yeah, the dumping really occurred, you know, roughly, and I have to, you know, look at the maps more carefully, but I think sort of from Chippewa Falls eastward through Wausau, Green Bay area, you know, Wisconsin Rapids, that area. And so the very extreme northern part of the state perhaps just escaped the band of heaviest snow, so it was to the south of the Iron River location.
We are talking about the weather that we are experiencing during this first week of spring, but also what to expect later in the season, even in the summer, and welcoming your questions about the weather, whatever they may be, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we are also asking you if you care to participate in our completely fun poll on what is your favorite season and why. Susan on Facebook writes, autumn is my favorite season. Not so hot, not so cold, beautiful colors, and Packers football. Good one, Susan. Jeannie on Facebook writes, every season is my favorite. That's why I live in Wisconsin. I think that's why a lot of us do. Linda on Facebook writes, today is not my favorite, but spring and fall are pretty nice in Wisconsin when they don't resemble winter or summer. What about you? What's your favorite season, or what question about the weather do you have for our guest? Or do you have a weather report from your area? What happened to you yesterday? Are you still digging out? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be a mostly sunny day today, partly cloudy near Lakes Michigan and Superior, a few flurries possible in far northern Wisconsin. Highs today ranging from the mid-20s in the north to the lower 30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Spring elections are just around the corner. This Friday at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin Public Radio will bring you the We the People Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice Debate between candidates David Prosser and Joanne Kloppenburg. That is a debate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice this Friday from 7 to 8 here on the Ideas Network. It will also be broadcast on Wisconsin Public Television. We will be talking with both candidates for Supreme Court Justice coming up in our next hour. Justice David Prosser joins us in our first half hour between 7 and 7:30. And Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg, his challenger, joins us between 7:30 and 8, and we will welcome your questions for both of the candidates coming up between 7 and 8 this morning. Right now we're talking about our weather and our wintry start to spring and wondering what's up with that. Michael Morgan is our guest, professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison. He's also the director of the Division of Atmospheric and Geospace Sciences at the National Science Foundation. And our next caller is Sandra in Michicot. Hi, Sandra. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling. Did you get a lot of snow in Michicot?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I bet you more than a foot.
To the Green Bay amounts of about 14 or more inches.
Wow.
But it actually helps out a farm crop that we make. We make maple syrup.
Oh. Yeah.
From our maple woods, and the warm-ups of the last 10 years or so, the early warm-ups seems to be affecting our production.
Right. Sandra, you need...
And way down.
Sandra, I believe for maple syrup production, you need days above freezing but nights below freezing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So how's the weather? How have things been in the last few weeks? Too warm, too soon?
Actually, we tapped the trees a week ago. This
okay.
past weekend, and we had a nice flow then. But now since it cooled off, that's actually better because our backs are a little achy from carrying all the sap. And the break, the cooler break is better for us than the warmer break.
Right.
Well, good. Yeah. So this type of weather is better for you and your production for maple syrup.
Right, right. And it seems like, you know, once it warms up in late February or March, people think, you know, winter is over. But I think, you know, people are sort of forgetting it's still March.
Right.
Yeah, and, I know.
Well, we've noticed the last few years, too, that there doesn't seem to be any or much frost in the ground. Our sump pump has been running off and on all winter, and that seems to speed the season along, too.
Mm-hmm. And when typically, I don't know, Michael Morgan, typically when do we get rid of frost in the ground? I stumped you, huh?
Yeah, stumped me. I think it's probably going to be in by mid to late April, I think, would be probably the typical time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for your call, Sandra, and good luck with that maple syrup production. It's making me think of pancakes right now. Let's go next to Vanessa in Janesville. Hi, Vanessa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I know I've born and raised in Wisconsin, so I've always experienced four seasons, but I was curious how much of the rest of the United States or even how much of the rest of the world actually experiences all four seasons.
Hmm, good question.
Right. I would say all four seasons are going to be experienced typically, like for the United States, I mean, everyone technically has those seasons, but in terms of the variation weather that we sort of enjoy in the upper Midwest, typically it'll be east of from the Rocky Mountains eastward. The west coast of the United States is sort of somewhat insulated because of the proximity of, you know, weather systems coming from west to east kind of modulate the weather significantly enough that it's, you know, while they do get, you know, seasonal weather in, say, places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, it's pretty modest in terms of the changes. The bigger changes are going to be felt sort of central continent and eastward, and this is going to be true for most of the northern hemisphere. If you look at sort of extreme western Europe, I mean, they do get seasonal variations in their weather, but the west coast of most continents in the northern hemisphere, the seasons are going to be less the weather from season to season is less variable than if you go to the interior of the continent or toward the eastern part of that continent.
Mm-hmm. So, Vanessa, do you like all four of them, or do you have a favorite?
My favorite would have to be fall. And I'm definitely a big fan of fall, especially going up in the Mississippi River Valley and watching the weather kind of change. That'd be my fave.
Thank you very much for letting us know. Well, Kim in Eau Claire could not stay on the line. I'm sorry about that, Kim. Wanted to hear about weather in Eau Claire. They had lots of snow, and even a huge television tower fell down in Eau Claire and knocked one of the bigger stations off the air. Kim wants to know what sundogs are. What, I've never heard of a sundog. What's a sundog, Michael Morgan?
A sundog is an optical phenomena that occurs on a sunny day. You have very high, thin cirrus clouds, those sort of feathery clouds that you see. And it's a bright spot in the sky that's fairly close to where the sun is. It may sort of appear as a colored patch of light either to the left or to the right of the sun. And it's caused by the interaction of the sunlight coming through the upper part of the atmosphere and interacting with ice crystals in cirrus clouds. So if you look at the sun and you look a little bit to the right or to the left, and you see a bright spot that appears to be sort of following the sun in the sky on a day that has a few cirrus clouds, that's what a sundog is. It's a bright spot. You might initially think, I'm looking at the sun. No, you're looking at an optical phenomenon that's associated with the sun passing through those ice crystals.
We are talking about the weather with Michael Morgan, one of our regular weather experts. Michael Morgan is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we welcome your weather-related questions in general for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our telephone or our call-in system went a little wacky just a little while ago, so it's working now, though. And we have about five more minutes to go in the program. So if you have a question for Professor Morgan, or if you have a survival story to tell from this week's spring snowstorm, or if you want to share with us your favorite season and why, we welcome that as we talk about the weather this hour. Our next caller is Carlene in Brooklyn. Hi, Carlene.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm one of those people who's kind of a weather nerd. I have all of the little weather stations bookmarked on my computer, and I'm curious, as in the last few years we've stopped talking about global warming and referred to it more as climate change, and I'm wondering if that is because so much of the severe weather that we're seeing related to that is not just warming weather, that we're seeing more severe other kinds of weather. And that's my question, one of my questions. And the other one I thought of as I was waiting, I also teach 11 and 12-year-olds, and some of the hardest things for them to understand are how fronts work. So I wonder if Professor Morgan has some kind of modeling that he could suggest that would help them understand a little better how fronts work.
Fronts. Okay, Carlene. Okay. I missed that word. So how fronts work, and why did we change the language from global warming to climate change?
Okay. Well, global warming, you know, perhaps climate change is a more accurate way to describe the phenomena of global warming. When we talk about global warming, we're talking about the phenomena, as I mentioned earlier, that, and we've seen this increase in the globally average temperature over the last, you know, several decades. And, I mean, that's, you know, you look at the science record, you have all the observations that support that, that the globally average temperature is going up. But just as we can, you know, look at the globe and see that it's very, you know, it's been rather chilly up in the northern part of our state, and if you look over the southwestern part of the United States, it's been dry and rather warm. There's some parts, you know, on any given day, the Earth isn't warming uniformly. And so the phenomenon of climate change that's associated with the increase in greenhouse gases is going to be manifest largely by an increase in the globally average temperature. But if you go from region to region around the globe, you're going to see different types of weather and different manifestations of how the climate's changing. So climate change is perhaps a more apt description of the overall phenomenon of global warming, because even as the climate changes, there are going to be parts of the globe that in fact cool somewhat and might be wetter or drier associated with that cooling. So you're not going to see a uniform increase in temperature over the entire globe, but the globally average temperature will go up.
Mm-hmm. And how do fronts work?
And so fronts, you know, fronts are a phenomenon in the atmosphere that are associated with horizontal temperature gradients. And the best way to think about this, and I'm not sure how you could easily set this up, but we do have equipment in our labs that we use to show our undergraduates and graduate students how fronts work. It's due to the fact that we live on a planet that rotates. And so one very quick, you know, way you could sort of demonstrate this is if you had a large tank of a fluid that has two different fluids in it, say water and oil, and maybe you can dye the oil some color so it's distinguishable from the water. If you put a barrier in there, say you initially have a tank with a divider in that has oil and water, and that represents sort of warm and cold warm and cold air. If you put a barrier in there and remove the barrier, the fluid's going to slosh around, the oil is going to rise to the top, the water is going to be at the bottom, it's denser. But if you have that whole system rotating, which the Earth is a rotating system, you'll see that the interface between the lighter fluid and the heavier fluid is going to remain at some slanted angle. And that slant is basically a front. It's a very simple front. It's just, you know, dense fluid on one side, heavier dense fluid on the other.
Very good. You know, we have less than 30 seconds to go.
Okay.
So is there a quick close, or is that good?
That's really the close. If she wants to leave some information, I could maybe contact her and talk a little bit more about that. But
I want to thank you very much, Michael Morgan, for your time. Again, any guess as to when all the snow will finally be gone in Wisconsin?
Let's say July 1st. No, it looks like we're going to have a cool, damp spring ahead. But, again, we're going to be warming up. The average temperature gets above 50 in the next in about a week or so. And we've had days in early April that we've gotten into the low 70s. So,
thank you so much for being with us. Michael Morgan is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison. Something to look forward to. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.